and welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. You can also go to our own website, that's the NAGB's website. If you don't know what the NAGB is, you must be a new listener, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. We have a website that is www.nagb.org.bs, and if you go to the Learn menu bar and scroll down to Blank Canvas, you can listen to all the archive shows and see pictures of who's been on the show, etc., etc. So we encourage you to do that, and while you're on the website, visit our calendar and see what's coming up, because not only do we have constantly changing art shows, that's one thing people are always like, oh, I didn't know you had something different. Every 3 months we put on a new show, so there's always something new at the National Art Gallery. It is free on Sundays for all Bahamians and local residents. So, you know, come on down. And we also have Women's Wednesdays once a month. We have free film screenings. Most of the programming we do is free, so we really encourage all Bahamians, all visitors, all residents to look at the calendar, see what's coming up, and you know, get involved and just come and hang out. And it's a nice place to hang out. So we are talking about spoken arts and written arts on this show. So we are with the creative community. The Tamarind Journal, which is being resurrected by a group of super energized University of the Bahamas students, Suhaila Hepburn, Tanisha Pratt, and Ide Amari Thompson. And we were talking about that before the break. And we're going to speak now a little bit more about just writing in general and how the theme of the next journal, the Tamarind Journal, the theme, which is tropical forces and things that shape you and perceptions of Caribbeanness. But before we go into that, I think we're going to hear a piece of work from Tanisha.
Wet tongue. My tongue is heavy. I let it fall out my mouth like sandbags holding back the tide. I tell them my tongue needs no diluting. Already a little seasick since crossing miles of the Atlantic. I tell them my tongue needs no washing, no ringing. My tongue is the revolution, holding back this tide, holding history, trying to salvage all that we can.
Very beautiful. Thank you. So if you want more of that, read the Tamarind Journal. And go to the Tingham Collective meeting next Thursday, on the 15th of February at the Pro Gallery at University of the Bahamas at 7 o'clock, because we've had the professor on the show, and she spoke about forming the Tingham Collective, and you met in her class, Tiffany Austin, and who's awesome. Tiffany is amazing. She is amazing, really inspiring teacher. Yes. It's great that we have teachers like that at UB. Mm-hmm. And she has created this thing, the Tingham Collective, which is a group of spoken word poetry poets, and you know, everyone is always welcome. So these things aren't, I think, one of the problems we have here, even at the NAGB, is everyone thinks it's like, you have to be part of some group, or you have to be a member, or you have to be invited. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. You know, it's just when we have an event, mm-hmm. it's an open invitation. Don't mm-hmm. wait for the envelope to come in the mail, because I did not have 350,000 envelopes. So, you know, everyone's invited, the whole country, and it's not an exclusive thing. Like, it's there for everyone. And I think the same for a Tingham Collective. You know, it's mm-hmm. founded by a group of people who are friends and know each other or have similar interests, but it's open. It's open for people to join. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really important message to get out there. Now, the topic of the first Tamarind Journal that you are going to issue after you've read all the submissions that people are sending you to tamarindjournal.editor@gmail.com is the topic is Tropical Forces, the Things That Shape You. And we have a show on at the National Art Gallery right now called Revisiting an Eye for the Tropics, which is a show that was curated by our young curators, Natalie Willis and Ricardo Barrett, after a text by a Bahamian art historian called Krista Thompson, mm-hmm. who now teaches in Chicago. And it's a really interesting text that really changed the way a lot of people mm-hmm. look at art coming from the region, about how ideas of landscape and tropicality have mm-hmm. kind of formed us and other people's imagination, and how actually it's formed our own brains and exactly. thinking about ourselves, how we see ourselves as people of the Caribbean a certain mm-hmm. way, because this image has been forced upon us. Mm-hmm. And during the break, we spoke about briefly about I just finished a wonderful novel by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie called Americana, who is a Nigerian writer, and how she was recently, a super well-known intellectual who's traveled and given talks, and a journalist asked her, do you have bookstores in Nigeria?
No.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't know this? And so, again, no. And I think this is an image that, you know, that many people have of the continent, and first of all, of, you know, quote unquote Africa, which by the way is, you know, 54 countries, but everyone sort of thinks it's just like the country of Africa.
Right.
And also, I think that happens to the Caribbean too, right? People ask me all the time, oh, like, how's Bermuda? And I'm like, no, I don't. I live in the Bahamas. And then they don't understand that I'm offended. Not offended, but I'm like, you know. Especially people that I know really well.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, okay, I've told you five times now that I live in the Bahamas. So I feel like the title for this journal also sort of addresses that. Are those, you know, ideas of, again, tropical forces that shape us.
Definitely. Like, it's, we want to make it as wide open as possible to really express the wider experience of, you know, the Caribbean space. Like, you know, it could be tropical force, it could be the physical hurricanes, the storms. It could be the turmoil in your own life. It could be the turmoil that's going around in your country, in your region. And that's what you really want to get people out. They can express their stories as they feel them.
You know. How did you come to pick that topic? Suhaila, do you want to speak to that? Because you're being very quiet.
I'm pretty sure the topic was just like, we're thinking like, okay, it's kind of a Caribbean kind of like feeling journal. Okay, tropicality, but we're just like, I don't know about like just like this plain tropicalness. It kind of just like kind of like categorizes. It's generic, and we're just like, but we're thinking about how like we can get like stories about like change over time. And we kind of just like married the two ideas together in a meeting, and just like, okay, we going with this? This is gonna how it's gonna be.
It was pretty quick. I think at first it was tropical forces, and then someone was like, no, but we should explain it. Like, what
have
is
a
it?
Tagline or something.
Usually in academic journals, you have like this one statement, and then you have this long statement.
Yeah, exactly.
after the semicolon.
Because that's how academics are. They can never say anything in five words when they could say it in 20. Yeah.
Yes, but it needed something. Tropical forces was good, but it needed something to kind of ground it and kind of open up this perspective of what could be tropical force. Is it physical? Is it spiritual?
All those things. And I would encourage anyone who's wanting to write to come to the National Art Gallery. Come on a Sunday when it's free and see the show. See the show Revisiting an Eye for the Tropics, because it's a really interesting kind of inquiry into, again, how we are shaped, particularly visually, obviously, for our purposes. How do you feel you're shaped by the tropicality of the Bahamas, or by being a person of the Caribbean?
It's so many things, you know, because it's not only my experience as being a woman in this tropical forest, but also being someone of African descent, a descendant of slaves. So it's not only that, but also how colonialism and post-colonialism has affected me. My ideas, the experiences when I travel abroad, and the ideas that they have of my country. So I feel as though all of those things, the economic external forces that shape me, social issues that shape me.
Do you feel that traveling makes you more aware of how you're shaped by those things? Do you think people that don't have the opportunity to travel don't realize how much this context shapes them very specifically?
I think so. Sometimes when we as Bahamians, we don't travel, or we travel to more remote places like Florida or even the United States, when you decide to travel to the other side of the world, you realize like how small or insignificant you feel. That has been my personal feeling when people say, oh, where are you from? Or you sound like you're from Jamaica, or where is the Bahamas? And I literally have to like draw the USA, draw
little,
Cuba.
Three little dots.
I'm like, do you know where Cuba is? Okay, so we're right above that.
You always have to refer to your, it happened to me when I travel quite a lot too.
I say,
you know, especially when you go places very far away. I was lucky enough to go to Qatar. And so, you know, you don't expect people in the Middle East necessarily to have a really strong understanding of the Caribbean.
And
he was like, where's the Bahamas? And I said, well, do you know where Jamaica is? Oh, but Marley! And, you know,
no.
Yeah, so, you know, that was the end of that.
even with our American, North American neighbors, even within the black diaspora over there, people think that, oh, we're so liberated, but then they don't understand that we also deal with these layers of post-colonialism that we do not even see. Colorism is a big thing in our community. in my poetry, sometimes I tackle the fact that, okay, we are a majority, but yet the majority of us are still poor.
Well, and the majority is still somehow kind of brainwashed, right? I mean, in a way, like by colonialism, right? Because again, the self censorship that goes on, and the and the profiling that goes on from, you know, an all black police force, as an example,
right?
Or profiling, you know, or at customs, right? I mean, everyone gets profiled coming through customs very quickly, and those things are still extremely, extremely active.
Right, and even our own complexes of being a Bahamian person. Okay, if you're on the color spectrum, if you're too light of a color, you're not considered Bahamian. If you're too dark of a color, you're not considered Bahamian. Yeah. It's kind of like this in between.
Exactly. Ask if I'm Canadian a lot.
Or like this homogenous idea
of what Bahamianness
Bahamian culture is.
Yeah. Is that something, Ide, you tackle in your work?
I think.
Or do you want to read a poem?
Sure, yeah. I read something.
You just, yeah, exactly. You just looked at your phone and I was like, I think he might have something that addresses that. Go for it. Yeah, we're going to hear.
This is really on the topic, but this poem here, I wrote it for like 2 weeks ago. It's titled, I Swear It Must Have Been Your Soul Dawning. When you, I first opened eyes, I felt the sunlight tumble down my tongue into the darkness of my stomach. It was too sweet, 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 like Yaya's guava cake on a Caribbean Christmas morning. I hadn't eaten it in 5 long years. 1, the taste of your eyes on mine is honey. 2, you have to cut the seed from the flesh to make the sauce. 3, the sound of the water they make on your body is a hallelujah. 4, mix the sugar and cream together with your 2 fast hands. 5, your flesh is a shade of sun-ripe mango. 6, you better heat that old stove first before the guava cake gone in. Some say the spirits of the ancestors whisper in your ear to tell you when to stop seasoning food. Clearly, they are silent when we're making guava cake. That thing always too sweet, too beautiful, like the first light on turquoises.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, beautiful.
Sounds like a prayer, right?
That was like a prayer. And I love the use of the repetitive, like we'd say doing something in Bahamian, you know, back and sweet, sweet. Beautiful. Using the vernacular features. Yeah. And are you encouraging that actually in the journal, that people write in vernacular?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I think when they came up with the tagline, we wanted to make to make sure that that's the focus of Bahamian language, because many of us use vernacular in different ways, and we want to bring that out in our creativity, because we in school we're taught to use proper English, or the Queen's language and all that kind of stuff, and we want to like show that our
I don't think anyone speaks the Queen's English anymore. My husband and I
we're
all going to speak very properly like this. I'm not sure anyone does. I've been watching The Crown and it's just like the accents are unbelievable, but anyhow, off topic. So you're encouraging the vernacular, that's good. I actually personally I think this is my own personal that they should teach both in school, right? And that it shouldn't be proper. It shouldn't be, you know, because again, I've said this before, like in Germany, where my husband is from, and in other, in many other countries in Europe, but specifically in Germany, it's very particular. Not only in Switzerland, where they have their own version of German too, there's a lot of different versions of German, and everyone speaks their own local dialect. Yeah. But there's something called Hochdeutsch, which is called High German, which everyone speaks. And that's like what the newscasters speak, and like everyone learns how to speak it. But there's nothing like wrong with your local dialect. It's not considered lowly or poorly. It's just considered your local dialect, and there's even a pride in that, right? That if you speak Schwitzerdeutsch, you speak Schwäbisch, or you speak, you know, Frankfurterisch or whatever it is. And that's something you speak at home. And very often they're not written languages. There's no sort of grammar book, but they have they follow their rules of grammar. And then everyone just speaks Hochdeutsch as well. But you learn both, right? And I think that would be something I would advocate for here. Also for people coming over to live here, or people like myself that were sent off to school away. You know, I think, you know, you should, if you come back to school here, you should actually be given classes in the vernacular. And it should be taught as like, this is the English we speak here. And this is the, you know, the global English.
Yeah.
Not proper English, but like, you know, something like that. And there's no level, like one isn't higher than the other. It's just like, this is one that everyone speaks, you know, even in France and Italy, and this is one that you speak at home.
That reminded me of a specific story in the Americana book that you were talking about, where Ifemelu, she had a specific encounter with one of the, I think she was like a receptionist or something in the lobby of the college or, the main building. And she said no matter how proper she spoke, the person still pretended as if she couldn't understand what she was saying. And then that reminded me of recently last week, when Sammy was rescued and he was talking and they kept asking him the same exact questions. And then I read one of the comments and someone said, he sound like he's smart, but can he read? And it did something to me, because it's like, you're not, back to what you said, with being accepted, you have the High German and then you have just like the dialect. Why is it different over here? Why is it when you speak in your dialect, or you speak in your...
You're assumed to be uneducated.
Right, you're assumed to be uneducated. And he's here talking about bearings. He's talking about running away from pigs, rubbing himself with the bush. And I'm like, wow, this person, oh my gosh, he is so intelligent. How does he know all of this? And the person says, yeah, but can he read?
Yeah, shocking. Okay, well, unfortunately, we have to go to a break. So we're going to pick that up after the break, because I think that's a really interesting point that we should get back into. And then, Suhaila, you're going to have to read us some poetry, too.
All right.
Okay. All right. So we are speaking with Suhaila, Tanisha, and Ide from University of the Bahamas. We are talking about the Tamarin Journal and how it is rising from the ashes. And you are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.